Will, please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read from the 141st Psalm, Psalm 141. I'd like to read the first three verses, Psalm 141, verses 1, 2, and 3. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege that we have to call upon thy great and holy name. And we know that we don't acquaint thee with anything that thou hast known from even before the foundation of the world. Every problem that we would ever have, every need that we would ever have. And we're thankful that thou hast promised that thou would never leave us nor forsake us. We pray that thou would help us as we face the troubles and problems of life, that you would give us the strength and grace and wisdom that we need, that we might do the things that thou would have us to do, that we might always know exactly what your will is in our lives. We ask you, Lord, to bless all those who stand in special need of thy help. We pray that you would bless all the members and friends of the church that are sick. Pray that you would touch their bodies, strengthen them, and lift them up. We ask you, Lord, to bless those that have lost loved ones, that you would comfort them and give them a peace that passeth all understanding. And we ask you, Lord, to bless those that will be traveling, that thy guardian angels will be round about them, to watch over and protect them as they travel, and just watch over and protect everybody during this coming week as we go about our daily responsibilities. We pray that you would watch over and protect each one. And we beg you, Lord, to bless those who are having troubles and problems and those who are trying to make decisions. We pray that you would give them wisdom that can come only from thee, that you would guide them and direct them and help them to know what your will is in every decision that they make in their lives. Lord, you know the needs that we all have this night. We ask you to bless each and every person here, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. Help us all, and help us to be better Christians. Help us to live closer to thee and closer one to another. Help us to be godly in our homes and at work and everywhere we go. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to be a good example of what a Christian ought to be. Help us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ every day, and help us to help each other. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Psalm 141, beginning in verse 1, reading verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God is a Psalm of David, and David says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now all of that is just saying, God, please hear my prayer. And I think that sometimes we take for granted that we all we have to do is just start praying. And so many times in the book of Psalms, when someone is praying, they're repeatedly begging God, please hear my prayer. That's what David is doing here, is please hear my prayer. And then the first request that he makes is in verse 3. And this is the main thing I want you to notice. In Psalm 141, verse 3, David says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. I believe that David was greatly concerned about the things that were coming out of his mouth. I believe that David realized that the things that we say, that sometimes we don't realize it, but that the things that we say are sinful sometimes. There are all different kinds of things that and different ways that we can sin by our mouth. The things that we say, for example, lying is one way that we sin. Sometimes you might think, well, I don't lie and I don't like liars. But lying doesn't have to be where someone asks you a question and you intentionally say something that is a lie, but it can be a distortion of the truth. And there's all different kinds of ways that we lie. Sometimes we lie when we know that we're deceiving other people. Lying is one of the ways that we need to pray. I think we need the same prayer that David did, that we would pray, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. I've been thinking about that a lot this week, and I think that sometimes when I'm having a difficult problem or trying to remember something that God, I believe, has burdened my heart about, sometimes I'll take a sticky pad and I'll put it right in the middle of my mirror in the bathroom so that when I'm up shaving or brushing my teeth, when I first get up in the morning, I want to remember that. And this is one of those statements that I believe that God's Word has that I need to be praying every day. It reminds me to think about every word that I say. If I'm really praying to God, God set a watch upon my mouth. If I'm asking God to keep the things that come out from my mouth from being offensive to Him in any way, if I'm saying, God, keep the door of my lips that I might not do or say anything with my mouth that would be displeasing to Thee, it's going to help me, because not only am I going to be thinking about it, but I'm asking God to help me. And I believe that when God's children sincerely ask God to help them not to sin, I believe God helps them. And I believe that's what David is doing right here. He's saying, God, set a watch. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Now, you might not agree with this thought that I have, but I believe he was asking God to just put an angel. You know, we talk about angels watching over God's people, and I think that David was maybe saying, God, I want you to just set a watch. You know, we talk about watchmen. Preachers are called watchmen, and all of us are to be watching over one another for good. And I think David was saying, God, just send an angel down to watch my mouth and to watch over me and to keep me from saying anything that's wrong. It doesn't have to be lying. It can be gossiping. Do any of you ever gossip? Say things that you're not sure whether they're... Sometimes we slander people. I had a person yesterday that called me and was talking, and it amazed me what she said. And she started talking about things that our president was doing that were wrong, and his wife, and all kinds of things. And it was just way out in left field. I said, where did you get your information? And she said, well, I picked up one of these little papers when I was going out of the store the other day that was right at the checkout line, and it was talking about, and it, she just started talking lie after lie about our president. You know the kind of papers, little tabloid papers that some people read, just full of lies. And I said, have you told anybody else what you've just told me about our president? I said, you have just told some things that comes out of the paper that also talks about aliens having babies and about people going to other planets and all kinds of things. Think about all that paper says, and now you've taken something about our president and you've declared something that you're not sure it's true. And I said, you need to ask God to forgive you, and please don't tell anybody else what you've just told me. Now, the person was just very naive and didn't realize that she said, well, here it is in black and white. Well, you can read things in black and white that are not necessarily true. And all of us need to be careful about repeating things that we hear or we think. Maybe even somebody else tells us something and we're not sure that it's true. And if you start repeating it, you're actually spreading false reports. Sometimes we can be false witnesses. The Word of God says that we're not to bear false witness. Jesus was accused of all kinds of things in His life many times because people just misunderstood what He said. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. What did they think He meant? They thought He was talking about destroying the temple in Jerusalem. And they began to make statements about Him that were false statements because they did not understand what He meant. And so many times we'll take something that somebody else says, and maybe it's a true report or maybe it's a false report. But you need to think about, do I really need to be saying what I'm saying? Is it really doing anybody any good for me to say what I'm saying? Slander and gossip and backbiting. Those are some of the things that God's Word talks about that God's people are going to be judged for. And we need to pray, if I realize that God's going to judge me for everything that comes out of my mouth that's wrong, Don't you think I'm going to do like David did and I'm going to say, set a watch, O Lord, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Now, what do you talk about the door of your lips? That's just opening it up and starting to talk. You open the door and out it comes. Some people keep the door open all the time. And the Word of God teaches us repeatedly in the book of Proverbs that a wise man is a man of few words. A wise man is not somebody that's just going to be talking all the time, because a wise man understands that I'm going and you're going to be judged by every word that comes out of my mouth. Now, isn't that a serious thought? Even idle words that God's Word says, Jesus says, that we're going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouth. When you say false things about God, and listen, brethren, let me tell you this. Some people don't think it makes any difference where you go to church. It makes a big difference. When you go to a church where untruth is spoken about God, you're supporting something that God's Word specifically says is wrong and ungodly. When someone is preaching a gospel other than the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and you go to that church, you are doing something that God's Word says is wrong for you to do. And I pray that God will help you to begin to realize that that going to other places where truth is not spoken is a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. It's wrong if I preach something that's contrary to the truth. It's the church's responsibility to be sure that that's corrected. If we sing something that's contrary to the truth, it is our responsibility to be sure that's corrected. We cannot, as the people of God, we can't just start preaching and talking and singing and it doesn't make any difference what we say. It does make a difference what we say. And we need to think about what we're saying. Have you ever engaged your lips before you engaged your brain? Have you ever engaged your tongue? I have. I've said things before and I thought, I wish I could take that back. I've said things before and I thought, you know, that was not exactly the way it was. And as God's people, if we'll begin to realize that we're going to be judged and are being judged by every word that proceeds out of our mouth, It will cause us to do what David did right here. It'll cause us to fall on our knees and cry. You see how he keeps saying, God, please hear my prayer. Please, Lord, hear my prayer. Why? Well, I think David knew he'd already been saying things that he shouldn't have been saying. And he knew he didn't deserve for God to hear his prayer. And I think that's one reason that in verses 1 and 2, he is repeatedly saying, God, please hear my prayer. Because I know that out of this mouth that I'm praying right now, I know that out of this mouth have come things that should not have come forth. Out of the same mouth that we praise God and worship God with, out of that same mouth we have things coming out that are contrary to truth and contrary to righteousness and goodness. And we need to pray, God, set a watch. See, why didn't David just say, you know, I'm going to straighten this problem out? Why didn't David just say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say anything again that's not exactly right. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to slander anyone. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to have any evil speaking. I'm never again going to have profanity come out of my mouth. Can you make all kinds of promises like that and it never take place? That's the reason we need God's help, isn't it? We tried to talk this morning about fighting footmen and fighting horsemen. I believe controlling your tongue is a horseman. That's a major battle. This is something you can't handle with just minor effort. This is going to take a tremendous amount of effort to begin to control everything that comes out of our mouth. And the only way that you can fight against the footman and the horseman and be victorious is for God to help you. And David understood that truth. And that's the reason he knew, I can't fix my mouth. I can't stop my mouth. I can't control this tongue. And so David said, set a watch, O Lord. Set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. I think that ought to be a prayer of every one of us. Every day. You know, there's some things you need to be reminded. Are there some things in your life you need to be reminded of over and over and over again? There are in mine. There are some times that I think, well, I'm doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden, oh, God will remind me of something that is just as basic and elementary as this is. This is just as elementary as you can get when you start talking about the words that we say. But everything that comes out of our mouth, everything affects our fellowship with God. It affects our witness. It affects our testimony. It affects what other people think about us. It affects whether or not they're ever going to listen to us about what we say about God's Word or about God. When people are listening to what we say, if we're not careful about what we're saying, it's going to destroy anything else good that we might could have said, any positive influence, any way that we might have converted someone. It's gone if you're not careful about everything else that comes out of your mouth. So we need to pray. God, I can't be affected in any way in your service. My words of praise are not acceptable to you when they come out of a foul mouth, a mouth that's been saying foul things. Profanity, all of these are just, I mean, there's a long list of ways that we use our mouth in the wrong way. And we need to just pray. God, I can't fix this problem. And this isn't saying, now God, it's up to you to fix it. When you say, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, it's saying, God, I'm trying to work on this problem, and I'm going to be looking to you every day, and I'm begging you to help me to control my tongue. Go with me to James chapter 1 just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. You know, there are a lot of very important statements in the book of James. Of course, everything in God's Word is important, but there's some just summary statements in the book of James. James 1 verse 26. Notice, please, in James chapter 1 and verse 26. Do some people talk differently at church than they do at work? Do some people maybe tell dirty jokes at work that they wouldn't dare tell to the people of the church? There are some people that use four-letter words at work, but they wouldn't dare use those four-letter words around the church. But the fact is that God is at work and at home and at church and everywhere we are. And I just thought of something else about the mouth besides the lying and gossiping and slandering and profanity and everything else. It makes a difference how you say something, doesn't it? How you say something. Not just what you say, but how you say something. And that's something that all of us need to pray. God will help us to be careful about how we say some things. Have you ever just not had the words and didn't know what to say? Just did not know what to say. You knew you had a problem to deal with, but you didn't know how to say it. You didn't know how to get the problem fixed. You didn't know how to work on the problem. But you need to pray, God, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Don't let me say anything that's wrong. Help me to say only that would be good for God's people. James chapter 1 says, listen to verse 26. We're trying to talk tonight about controlling the tongue and the fact that you and I by ourselves cannot control the tongue, but we need to be praying for God to set a watch before our mouth and to keep the door of our lips for God to help us to control our tongue. James 1 verse 26, the Word of God says, if any man among you seem to be religious, now everybody here seems to be religious. Do all of you understand that? What does it mean to seem to be religious? Well, it's people that go to church and people that talk about they love God and people that try to live right. And he says, if any man among you seem to be religious, that kind of person seem to be religious but not be religious at all. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now those are strong words. That all the religion we might have, and of course he comes on in the next verse and says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now keeping yourself unspotted from the world has to do with what you say and what comes out of your mouth among a lot of other things. So if a man seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, This man's religion, that is, everything else he's doing, if he is not bridling his tongue, his religion is in vain. Now that's a lot like 1 Corinthians 13 that'll say, you know, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and though I do all these things, he says, if I don't have charity, I am nothing. And what's God saying here? It doesn't matter what else you do, doesn't matter how many ways you look religious, if you're not bridling your tongue, your religion is in vain. Now that's, does that make any of you feel good? It makes me feel bad to know that my religion is in vain if I'm not bridling my tongue. It makes me realize and remember and know I'm falling way short of being what I need to be as a Christian. And so he makes that statement, that very bold statement in James 1:26, that our religion is in vain if we don't control our tongue. And then he comes to James chapter 3, and he goes into great detail in James chapter 3 about the tongue, and he says, now, we put bits and bridles in horses' mouths to control them. Can you control a huge horse, 1,000-pound or 1,000, are there 1,000-pound horses? Okay. You can take a bit and a bridle, and you can control a 1,000-pound animal with that little small bit and bridle. And then he goes on and gives another illustration after he says in James 3:3 that we control horses with bits in their mouths. Then he says in James 3:4, he says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. A little rudder can direct a huge ship. And he says, whithersoever the governor listeth. That is, whenever the man is guiding the ship, all he has to do is just turn that little wheel that turns that little rudder on the ship, and it causes the huge ship to turn. It takes a small rudder to affect a big ship. Now he says then, I've given you an example about a horse and about a ship, and he says now in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member. You've got all these different members of the body. You've got hands and arms and head and legs and feet. He says, and the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now he gives a third illustration here, really. He says, you can take a match, and you can burn down a forest, can't you? A little fire can destroy huge things. A little tongue, though it's small, though it's a small member of our body, it can destroy other people, can it? But I don't think that's the main thing he's talking about right here. I don't think he's talking about how you can take your tongue and destroy other people. That's not the main thing. I think the main thing he's talking about, that little tongue that you have can destroy you. Behold, what a matter a little fire kindleth. The Word of God tells us that a little folly in the mouth of one that's wise is like a fly in the apothecary's ointment. In other words, you take some good medicine that you need to take to help make you well, and the medicine's good, but you let a little fly be in that medicine and you start to drink it. Are you going to take the medicine? No. And he says a little folly in the mouth of one that's wise is like a fly in the apothecary's ointment. Do you see the illustration there? It means that you can take a wise man, and he starts with a little folly coming out of his mouth, it's going to affect everything else about all that wisdom that he could have given you that would have been for your good, just like medicine's for your good, but you won't take it. Why? Because of the fly, because of the folly that's coming out of the person's mouth. Brethren, the tongue is a little member, and it's hard to control. And by the way, he says here that you cannot control it. Now, I want you to remember this. You're going to try to do it by yourself. You say, you're going to make this commitment. You're going to make this vow. You're going to make this challenge to yourself. You're going to not do anything with your tongue that you ought not do. You better watch it. Listen to what he says in verse 6. After he says that, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. In verse 6, James 3, verse 6, he says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body." And you see what body he's talking about there? He's not talking about other people's bodies. He's talking about your own body. "It will defile your whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." Do you know where this evil speaking comes from? It's the devil. The devil in us. It's set on fire of hell. The devil is what moves us and motivates us to say things we ought not. And then he goes on in verse 7 and says, "For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things that are in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." But, in other words, can you tame a lion? Have you ever seen men that tame lions? Can you tame a whale and have them jump through hoops, and dolphins and all kinds of huge creatures? You can tame them. But, he says in verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame." Now, that just kind of releases you from any responsibility, doesn't it? Can't do it. God said you can't do it. No, it does not release me from anything. The only thing this is telling me is that I, by myself, I cannot tame my tongue, and you by yourself, you can't tame your tongue. And David could not tame his tongue. So what did David do? David began to cry to the Lord and kept crying, "Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my prayer, God." And he kept praying it because he knew he had been using his tongue in the wrong way. And he's praying, "God, I beg you, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Don't let me say something wrong again." Is that too big a goal for you to set in your life? For you to pray that God will help you to never, ever, ever. Don't you think sometimes we fall so short because we don't set the goal high enough? I think we ought to set a goal of absolute perfection in our lives. Would you ever reach that? You won't reach it. But if you don't set your goal, and when you talk about setting a goal of absolute perfection, I'm just saying follow Jesus, because He is absolute perfection. Did you know Jesus, in all of His life, there was never one idle word that came out of, not one idle word that came out of His mouth. There was never one evil speaking that came out of His mouth. Not one time. His entire life, He never once yielded to temptation to say something He should not say. Now, if I want to be a good Christian, I've got to have that same goal and objective in my life. And you and I know we can't do it by ourselves. So what do we need to do? We need to have this prayer on our heart. Every morning when you get up, you need to pray, "God, O Lord, please hear my prayer. And set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth." Set a watch. Send an angel down. Do whatever's necessary. And keep the door of my lips. Keep that door shut. Except I speak something that would be right in your sight. That's the reason that David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I need to pray that God will help me, that the words of my mouth would be acceptable in His sight. I want to try harder than I've ever tried before. But as hard as I try, I won't do any better than I've done before unless I'm daily praying, "God, I can't do it by myself. And I ask You to set a watch. Set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips." May God help us to do that, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.